Hello and welcome to another episode of the Rev VR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. See, I told you we'd start pumping out episodes again once I got settled into Seattle. And so hopefully most of you got a chance to enjoy my last podcast. And now today we're getting back into the interviews. And what better way to start off than to have one of my good buddies down in LA, Cosmo Scharf. Cosmo, how you doing, buddy?
Great. How are you?
Fantastic. So, Cosmo, man, LA is kicking. It is booming with VR excitement. What is going on down there? Is there something in the water or what?
Man, yeah, it's a very exciting time. There's lots of virtual reality startups in Los Angeles in the past year that have been created. Our next VR LA event is in a few weeks, and we have lots of companies coming out to demo, mostly from the California area and mostly from Los Angeles. But yeah, there's lots of activity.
So let's talk a little bit about that. You asked me a few weeks back, maybe a month or so back, hey, are you going to be in town? Are we going to be able to see you here at the VRLA Summer Expo? And by golly, I can make it. I'm excited to be able to come down. Yeah.
Nice.
I know, it's exciting. So, what am I in store for? I mean, what is the lineup? Who are we going to see? What are we going to do?
Yeah, so lots of different companies. You know, our primary, we have a few, more than a few sponsors, actually. AMD, Jaunt, Samsung, Google Cardboard, I'm 360, 360 Heroes, a wide variety of 360 camera companies. We have, I think, over 60 exhibitors at this event and a number of presentations and panels on developing for mobile VR and storytelling in VR and a bunch of other things.
Now, I have to ask, because I've talked to Carl Krantz of Silicon Valley Virtual Reality Meetup. They do that expo each year, or at least they've done it for 2 years now. You've been doing meetups, the VRLA meetups, but this is an expo, man. I mean, how crazy different is it from going to from a meetup to an expo type of situation?
Yeah, it's interesting, kind of how we evolved. You know, I never really imagined what we would be like today when we first started out about a year and a half ago. When we first started out, we were very much a meetup, and you know, we had, I think, something like 150 people show up to the first event, and we've been consistently trying to make each new event bigger and better than the previous one, and we've done that over and over again for about a year and a half now. And really, I think kind of our success and our growth is just kind of reflects the state of the industry as a whole. The whole VR industry has grown a lot since we started. There's so many more companies and people developing for this space, and our growth, I think, really reflects that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing but good things being said about the LA VR scene. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, well, San Francisco or Seattle or, you know, Silicon Valley. But you've kind of got that vibe of the whole video and 360 and things like that going on down in LA, which is an obvious avenue because of all of the Hollywood stuff. So are we going to start seeing some mainstream, Paramount or Fox or something? What are we going to see here in the future?
Yeah, well, I mean, actually a number of companies, film Hollywood companies have jumped into VR, Fox, Warner Brothers, Legendary. So I think they're already looking at VR as a means for storytelling, and rightly so, because it's incredibly compelling, especially when you compare it to the regular movies and regular TV shows. It's just an entirely new kind of experience.
It really is. It's hard to imagine the idea of not going to, so, you know, big summer blockbuster hit comes out and you're not going to the theater to see it. Instead, you're sticking an HMD on your head and sitting alone in your living room, you know, in your footed pajamas with a box of popcorn. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's your take
on
that?
Yeah, that's the dream, right?
You're right. What do you think? I mean, you think that's what's going to end up happening here?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think movie theaters will ever truly go away. I mean, a lot of people are you know, bringing that up and are concerned about that, but I think they will have to change and adapt just like they have been in the past, you know, decade, where we've seen, you know, the development of you know, digital services that provide movies to us on our computers and phones, and we don't really necessarily, you know, no one really needs to go to a movie theater anymore, but you go for the experience. And so now that we have VR, this new thing that can, you know, essentially simulate a full size movie theater, I think it will definitely negatively impact movie ticket sales, but in order for them, I think, to stay in business, they're going to have to, I think, provide even more immersive experiences. I think you're seeing things like that with, like, it's called 4DX. It's kind of a ridiculous name, but it's kind of, it's an interesting premise that you, like, sit down in these, like, sort of, how do I describe it? Like these, like almost like motion simulator chairs, and then they have like, they like move around a little bit, and they like spray like water in your face, and they like have wind, and there's smoke, and there's like strobe lights, and there's smells, and I saw Transformers like that about like a year ago, and it was pretty neat. It was a little distracting, but I think we're gonna have, movie theaters are gonna start developing more things like that.
So you actually saw Transformers in a 4DX theater. I have to ask you,
yeah.
What does Optimus Prime smell like?
Delicious. No, I don't know. It was actually kind of interesting because, you know, there's lots of explosions in that, and they had like the scent of like burnt like metal and like fire, like kind of I don't know, it was kind of gross, but it was interesting.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that you know, theaters are going to have to adapt just like any other you know, medium that's going to try to compete with VR. They're going to have to adapt to try to, you know, TV is going to have to get better. I don't know how it will, but it will have to try somehow. Theaters and things like that. I mean, even when, you know, I've been to an OmniMax, I've been to an IMAX theater, those are very compelling experiences. And, you know, that's what I expect to see from now on. The days of going and sitting in front of that ripped up screen from 1975 in a nasty seat in a really sticky floored theater, that's not gonna do it for people anymore. I mean,
yeah,
time to up the ante here.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is, like, kind of as we develop new technologies and new mediums, they all sort of stack on top of each other. They don't necessarily kind of get rid of each other. Like, you know, we still have radio today. We just don't use it as often as we did when we only had radio. We just have new kinds of mediums that are more immersive and more exciting that we prefer to use.
That's a good point. I mean, I hadn't really considered that. I am still a radio listener, you know. Every once in a while, I like to turn on NPR and get my daily dose of news.
Is that what you usually listen to?
No, I hate NPR. But I do listen to the radio every once in a while. It's good to have an eclectic mix of radio. And I think that there is an art to being a DJ, especially in a rock station. And, you know, there's something to be said for, hey, kids, time to kick out the hits. Yeah, for the next hour and a half. Nothing but Pink Floyd, you know, that sort of thing. I think there's something to be said for that. It's a lost art, you know, if we get rid of radio. So I think we need to keep that around, and not just for nostalgic purposes, but I think there's something to be said for somebody else picking what you get to listen to. Plus, there's that whole advertisement aspect of things. I had somebody ask me just recently, I was looking at a YouTube video, and the ad was playing, and I didn't skip it. And whoa. He says, "Hey, man, what are you doing? You didn't skip the ad." I said, That's right. As somebody who has YouTube content, I don't want you to skip my ad, so therefore I don't skip theirs. And yes, I'm one of those fools that watches ads on YouTube because I understand what it does for the content producer. And so,
wow.
Yeah,
I that's very valiant of you.
Well, I understand what it means for me. It's kind of like when you were in high school, which Cosmo, for you, that was like what, last week?
not quite.
Okay. But when you had friends that were in the custodial arts who were waiters or waitresses at restaurants, you always tipped them big because you knew what it meant. And you yourself don't want to get stiffed on a tip, so you tip big. That's the kind of guy I am. So I kind of encourage everybody else to do that as well. But I do think that we have gotten to the point where we can fast forward through all of our ads on TV because everything's DVR'd now. We don't watch anything live anymore. You know, you show up late to the movie. You don't have to watch the previews and the, you know, let's go out to the lobby and get some popcorn. You know, you don't have to watch that kind of stuff. And you know, we have that type, but then things get more expensive. And then we complain about the fact that things get more expensive. So watch the ads. Well, you know,
what do you think about ads in VR?
I think it's a great thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. I've actually talked to a couple people who are actually working on something like that. Ads in VR are a necessity, and it is a natural evolution of a new medium. As soon as you have a new way to provide content, there's going to be a new way to provide commercials. And I think it's important because if somebody's not making money on this, then the content goes away. You know, it's like all the old soap operas. And that's why they're called soap operas, is because soap manufacturers sponsored them. And so we need to have those sponsors. We need to have those companies pumping out the bucks so that way we can continue to have content. And I don't mind watching a 360 stereo video of driving in the next Lincoln like I'm Matthew McConaughey. That's fine. It might be a very compelling experience for a commercial.
Do you think ads will be more compelling in VR than any other medium?
I think watching fish swim is more compelling in VR. I think watching grass grow is more compelling in VR.
Than in real life?
Than in real life. I think everything. I mean, again, new medium. We love novelty. Human beings love novelty. And so an ad inside VR is immediately, because of its delivery method, going to be more compelling than just on a flat screen.
Well, do you think that's potentially dangerous, though?
Okay. Why do you ask that?
I don't know. Just something. It's interesting to think about, right? Like when you can place someone in a world entirely designed by a company. It seems like it could kind of weave its way into your head a lot.
I don't know. Easily. I mean, I just like most of the rest of you, I do spend a little bit of time inside Facebook every day, and Facebook is about 25% ads nowadays. So sure, I mean, why not? I'm not worried like it's going to be, you know, big corporation is going to take over and monetize and, you know, IOI and all of that stuff. I don't think it's going to happen that way. And if I do find that, you know, well, let me give you an example. I'm surfing through the interwebs on my laptop, the one that my wife uses on a regular basis, and every single one of my ads on every web page I went to, even the porn sites, had tables and chairs and couches and furniture. Why? Because we are in the market for new couches and chairs and furniture for our new house. So here I am looking at, you know, my favorite erotica site, and there's, hey, check out this couch for $5.99. Cool.
Just what I needed.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, that's obviously because cookies and all that jazz. I don't care. I mean, do I really care? It's a little distracting, but I don't care. Again, people got to make their money or the content right. starts to cost.
Well, it's really interesting to think about, like, targeted ads in VR as opposed to just kind of branded experiences, you know?
That could get a little spooky. I mean, think about, you know, let's say you are a big fan of Lipton iced tea. And so there you are watching a movie, you know, whatever, Terminator Genesis 2, The Revenge in 3D. And all of a sudden it cuts to commercial and it's a Lipton tea ad. And you're like, oh, cool, man, that's awesome. I love Lipton iced tea. And then it goes back to the movie and then it comes back later and it's like, oh, gee, another Lipton iced tea ad. And then it goes away and it comes back and it's like, oh, another Lipton iced tea. Yeah, I like Lipton iced tea. I'm not knocking it. But I wonder, is that good or bad or what? I mean, is that the same as seeing couch porn? I mean, what is that the same thing?
Couch porn, whoa. Right. Well, the question is, do you think you'll ever be able to taste the Lipton iced tea?
Ooh, that would be great. That would be awesome. You know, smell-o-vision and taste-o-vision and all sorts of things. You know, there's a couple guys working on something like that. You know, let's throw some aromas at your face and see if that helps make a more compelling experience. Imagine, well, and that's even cooler too, because imagine all the food advertisers pay for the hardware to stay. If McDonald's offered to give you a free piece of hardware to attach to your Rift that would be able to simulate all of the smells from their menu.
From McDonald's? I don't know if I'd want that.
Okay, from In-N-Out.
Sounds kind of like the opposite
okay.
of this smell that I want, but go ahead.
But yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though? If they're going to offer you free hardware, you'd take it if it means that you get a more compelling experience. Oh, and their ads. I might do that.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting concept, though, and it's something that we are going to have to deal with. It's a very, very valid point. We are going to have to deal with advertisers, companies who create these experiences, and we're going to have to deal with them because that's going to be their method of monetization. And what does ad block look like in VR? They're just like blocks covering up all of the ads.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Somebody start working on that right now. Adblock VR. Yes. I'm going to go register the domain name right now. Adblockvr.com. Okay, there we go. Got it.
Have you ever thought about like virtual food, like eating in VR?
Yes and no. So I just saw somebody just recently post on Reddit. Here, I'll make you famous. Somebody post on Reddit, what if you were like eating something in VR, but then like in real life you were eating something else? It's like, let's say you, in VR you're eating a banana, but in real life you're eating a hot dog.
Whoa. Could you, that's crazy.
Yeah. Could you fool yourself into thinking the hot dog tasted like a banana?
Well, I think it's, there would certainly be some degree to which you would, you know, it would actually seem to taste a little different. I don't know how much, but it seems like when you kind of cross those streams, they must have some impact on each other, right?
I would think that the human brain would definitely see some, would be confused. Because eating isn't just one sense. Eating is several things. It's texture, it's smell, it's taste, it's look, it's feel. You know, I've had things not taste the way they should. You know, you eat a piece of candy and suddenly it tastes like a piece of meat. That's not normal. That's not right. You shouldn't have that. Sweet should be on one side, savory on the other, and neither the twixt shall meet. I don't like that. I think that's odd. And if VR has the ability to do that and make my hot dogs taste like bananas, I might actually be forced to stop eating hot dogs, and that would be just a travesty.
Well, but it's, imagine like being able to create a food in VR that couldn't exist in real life.
So the snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, basically I'm advocating for Willy Wonka. Yes. That's my dream.
WillyWonkaVR.com. Registering it right now. Okay. Whenever anybody comes up with a good idea on my show, I hurry up and go and register the .com.
That's really what you're in it for, right? Is for the good ideas, yep, that you could just, it's for the domain names.
It is. I'm going to be a professional domain squatter. No, I'm kidding. And shame on you people for doing that. Shame on you.
I used to buy domains, and then I wasn't very successful though.
I knew a guy who was going to do that. He's like, I'm going to go buy McDonald's dot. I remember when the domain extension .cc came out, and everybody's like, oh, that's going to be the next big thing. Everybody's going to do web pages .cc, and I'm going to go out and buy all the big ones. And who uses .cc? I don't know a single reputable website that uses .cc.
Yeah, there's so many domain extensions now. It's actually kind of crazy. Have you learned about that?
Yeah, you can get .domain. Like that's like the most meta. Like I want to get domain.domain. www.domain.domain. I'm going to get that website. I'm going to go register that right now.
No, I'm sure someone has that.
So you think we can invent like Willy Wonka style some new flavors?
Oh yeah!
Just eat rice.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah. Like to invent a new flavor.
It's like inventing a new color. You really can't do that. But I've seen some very interesting things where you portray one screen, your left eye gets one shade or color, and your right eye gets another one, and then your brain interpolates that data and creates this weird, funky, yellow purple type of hybrid thing, and you're not really creating a new color, or are you?
Well, I remember I forget what I was looking at, but like when you see like a shader bug and it's like displaying a shadow in your left eye but not in the right eye, right, it like really screws, yeah, with you.
It does. It messes with you, and those are the kind of things we're gonna have to deal with. I mean, imagine if that happened in real life. You know, the black cat crossed your path twice. Obviously, that's a glitch in the Matrix, and we're all doomed. So, crazy stuff, man. Well, I look forward to tasting whatever flavors you come up with. You're going to have to name it like the Cosmo Berry or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. Yeah,
Cosmo Berry ice cream.
I'm actually eating some right now.
There you go. I would go to Ben & Jerry's and pick up some Cosmo Berry ice cream. So Cosmo, you know, your group is, who all's in the group? Who all is part of the VRLA, like, mafia?
Lots of people.
There?
So we have Johnny Ross, John Root, Jessica Ward, James Berrien, Kate Stewart, Christian Falstrup, oh boy, I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. Arvia Glass helps with our newsletter. I work with a team of, I think, about seven people now. Adam Levin, of course. How could I forget him? Jeez, that would have been terrible. I work with a decently sized team, and it's great because we're able to pull off events at a scale, you know, which doing it alone would be impossible. And other people have, you know, significantly different skill sets than me. I really couldn't imagine even, you know, trying to do this by myself.
It takes so many people, and I don't think everybody realizes this, but even just a plain old meetup, even with just 100 people to show up, to get a venue and to get food and to figure out timing and get it all organized, it takes a lot. And so it does help to have a diverse group of skilled individuals with which to work with and put on an event, something as big as an expo. It really is cool that you guys have all found each other and are working together to make this type of thing happen. It's kind of funny. You sounded like you were receiving an Academy Award. I don't want to forget anybody.
Yeah, no, it was actually. It was kind of weird.
Okay, so this expo here is taking place on a Saturday. You're doing it on a Saturday. That's cool, man. I mean, normally these things take place on like a Tuesday or something. We got to take off work.
Right.
You did it on a Saturday. That's
great. Yeah. Well, I think most of our events in the past have been on weekends, and we do that so people, you know, can spend the whole day having fun with VR and not have to take off work. So yeah.
That's very noble of you. I think
so it's, noble.
Yes. Well, and again, you know, I try to squeeze in VR events when I can. I mean, I'm a family man, so, you know, trying to squeeze in stuff in between doing stuff with the kids and, you know, taking them to parks and school events, things like that. It's really difficult sometimes to race home and try to hit a VR mixer at 7 o'clock at night on a Tuesday or something. Having it on a weekend, it's very cool. So this is actually taking place at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Yeah.
Huge place, man.
Yeah, well, you know, we're in one of their rooms, which is, compared to all their other rooms, their smaller room, but it's still a very big room. But yeah, certainly when you say the LA Convention Center, it's like, that's pretty cool.
It's like E3, you know, it's like bum bum bum.
It is.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, one day we'll take up all the halls, and it'll be cool. It'll be fun.
Totally awesome. So what's the total number of people going to be at this event?
We're expecting over 2,000.
Over 2,000. That's almost over 9,000.
It's it's over 2,000! That would be really, like, less impressive if he said that, right?
It would, right. Because it's like, there's no frame of reference anyway. You know, over 9,000 is just a random number anyway. But yeah, I mean, 2,000 people, that's crazy. So do you have the full list there of everybody that's going to be there? Can you list off all 2,000 people for me?
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to start, like, from the front, like A to Z or Z to A?
Well, let me check the time. Okay, yeah, just go ahead and start with A.
Okay, well, I know you're coming and I know I'm going, so you can kind of imagine the 1,998. Left.
Oh, right. So, okay. Obviously, you know, I hope there weren't people like turning the podcast off right now. It's like, oh man, they're going to list all 2,000 people. We're going to change the channel. We're going to go listen to some other podcast. Was that your expectation that there would be 2,000 people? I mean, what were your plans when you set forth to do this event?
Well, again, like every event that we do, we try to make it bigger and better than the previous one. And when I set out a year and a half ago after listening to your podcast about, you know, telling people to go create a meetup, and I heard you and I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me think about that. And then I created it. I really had zero idea what was in store in terms of the amount of work and the scale and the kind of the growth of the event and the industry as a whole. If I had set out to be in the LA Convention Center, I would have failed. But somehow we managed to be here, and it's, you know, I think it's definitely something to be proud of.
You do have to grow into it. I agree with that. I mean, and that's something that Carl and Nana and Bruce and them at the SVVR you know, group has said as well. It's, you know, you don't know what to expect, and each time you just try to get bigger and better and badder, and it really is. It's an exponential growth. It's very cool to see multiple groups doing this. So that's
Cool. and they're doing a great job, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I, you know, it's funny. I have yet to see a bad VR meetup. I think there's a rule. Anytime there's two people in a room talking about VR, you're golden. As long as you have two people. I mean, I like to try to have meetups here by myself in my walk-in closet and just sit there and, hey, let's talk about VR. And nobody responds. That's not a good meetup. But two or more, that's where you want to be. Definitely.
Yeah, well, I think it's just the nature of the technology. You know, we've never had anything like this before. and people are responding accordingly, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Even when you look at the social VR experiences that are going on right now, things like the VR chat, Gunter's Universe, where we've got groups of people coming together on a regular basis from all different time zones and countries and things like that, and they get together and they're all in one room, but they're not really. And then there's obviously the physical aspects. I mean, there's, Sacramento and San Francisco and Denver and Vancouver and all these other cities. I know there's a lot of stuff happening up in Canada, Toronto, Boston, New York, Atlanta, all these VR meetups. And they're growing and they're getting huge. And I almost feel like there should just be expos in every major city going forward. Eventually we'll stop using the word meetup and we'll just use expo in every city.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, it's certainly a global phenomenon. It's not just in America. It's not just in California. I mean, certainly it's concentrated in California and in kind of, I'd say LA and Silicon Valley and San Francisco, but it's definitely happening everywhere, which is really exciting.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happening overseas, a lot of stuff happening down under in Australia and New Zealand, and I know that there's things going on in the UK. There is even at least one or two developers in Ireland, I heard, so you know who you are. Yeah. So it's good stuff. I mean, we've got a global VR community. It's very, very cool. Anybody major coming in for this event? Any long distance travelers coming in for the VRLA Summer Expo?
Oh, let me pull it up right now if I can pull it up in time. But actually, yeah, I mean, there's people. Most of the people are coming from Los Angeles, of course. But you'd be surprised. There are people coming from around the world. Actually, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's just a 1-day event, so to have that type of dedication to be willing to fly into LA for a long weekend to be able to come to this event. It has to be pretty damn important to come in for something like that. And to know that there are people doing that, that must really make you feel pretty good about the event.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at Eventbrite, I'm pulling up right now. There's people, there's like all these dots from like Europe and Asia. It's like, what the heck is going on? Like freaking Cairo and Dubai? Like, I don't know. Like, are these people really going to show up? Like, holy cow.
Maybe they just collect Eventbrite emails.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their thing.
Or maybe they just like to sign up for Eventbrite and just don't go. But, like, I'm looking at this map right now. There's people from, like, China. It's like, holy, what is this? I honestly, like, have a hard time processing that.
It's got to be flattering, though, to know that there are people are willing to do that, to spend thousands of dollars to come in. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be worth it.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk a little bit about the tickets. So you were charging, what, like $30 or something to get in for a regular ticket?
Yeah, I mean, our early bird started, I think, a little bit cheaper, but yeah, I think our general admission was 30, and we're going to be selling a limited quantity at the door for $40.
Oh, okay. So
We're sold out online.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And what's this whole VIP ticket thing? What's that all about?
Yeah. So our VIP tickets grant access to the event 2 hours prior to general admission. So for those people that are wanting to network with our exhibitors and kind of try everything out a little earlier and get a little more personal time with people, it's for that.
Seems like that's a really great idea for somebody who might want to be walking around and What do you think, Cosmo? Should I broadcast this on VR Casters? Should I broadcast it live?
Why not?
I think I should. I think that'd be a really cool thing to do. If I just tap into VR Casters, we can broadcast live, and I can walk around and talk to people at the booths and let them give their, you know, 60-second elevator pitch, and that might be pretty cool, man.
Yeah, totally. Do it.
I might do that. All right. Well, cool. We'll put that on the books, and we'll try to set that up. I'm just excited that I get to go. I'm just really excited because it was not practical for me to try to fly in for something like that all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio. But now that I'm just in Seattle, I mean, I can almost walk there. If I start today, I might get
there. You could walk there.
I could. I don't know what the distance is, but maybe I could hitchhike.
I could also walk to New York.
Well, you could, but whether you should or not, I guess we're talking about the wrong word here. We talk about should. But no, it is a quick little jaunt down, pun intended, for the jaunt guys. I think it's cool that jaunt has been in the VR buzzword lately. I've been seeing their cameras pop up at events. And people are like, "Hey, is that a jaunt camera in the background of that concert that's going on?" I think it's really cool that they've been so prevalent, especially in the media space.
Yeah, they've been longtime sponsors, and we're, of course, very happy about that.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're pretty stoked. Any chance I'm going to meet some major Hollywood celebrities while I'm there?
maybe, who knows? You know, I was looking on our Twitter and Elijah Wood was following us, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, okay, cool. You know,
yeah, big deal.
Yeah, I might I have this thing that whenever I meet like a major Hollywood celebrity, a movie star, I want to tell them how much I enjoyed their performance in the most obscure movie that they were in. So if I were to meet Elijah Wood, I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, you were so good in Back to the Future 2.
Or he was not in that.
Elijah Wood was in Back to the Future 2. So when Marty McFly goes to the Cafe 80s and he goes over and there's Lone Gunman, the arcade game that's over in the corner, he goes, "Oh, I used to play this, you know," and he picks up the gun, he shoots the little kid that says, "You have to use your hands. That's a baby's toy." That's Elijah Wood.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, when I type in Elijah Wood in Google, it autofills Elijah Wood Back to the Future. So
see?
I guess you're right.
Google is sentient. It was listening to me give that description. See? Phone's right here.
There he is. Yep. There he is. That's him with the weird, he has this weird like cap on.
Right, right. Like a visor
from the future.
Type of thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like a future cap.
Oh yeah. See, Back to the Future. When people say, "Oh, I've seen that movie 1,000 times, and they're exaggerating. No, I think I've seen the Back to the Future trilogy 1,000 times. I mean, I've watched it too many times. It's pretty bad. So I'm pretty big on Back to the Future trivia. So try to stump me. If you meet me, try to ask me a Back to the Future question. I guarantee you I'll know it. Okay.
I don't have any questions for you.
It's all good. Hey, so let's switch gears here. There's another thing that you are responsible for. And I think we need to talk a little bit about it. And this is the Proto Awards. I'm sorry, the second annual Proto Awards. Let's talk a little bit about that, man. So what's let's talk about the first one first, because it's first, and first is first. How did the first one go?
It was awesome. So the Proto Awards are the first award show for virtual reality content. We had our first one about a year ago. Opposite Oculus Connect, which was their developers conference. We had Thomas Middleditch host, who is the star of Silicon Valley on HBO, which was pretty awesome because I love that show and it's kind of eerily reflects what what's going on in my life right now. But yeah, the show was great, and the next one is going to be on September 22nd, and we're really excited for that. AMD is our marquee sponsor, and we're really fortunate to have them.
That's pretty cool, man. You know, the first one I was able to attend, I was on the Board of Governors at the first one, and I really had a great time at the event. There was, a lot of awards given out to very well put together, well-deserved experiences, games, movies, whatever you want to call them. VR was definitely present, so much in fact that even the virtual boy that showed up at the Proto Awards, that was, I don't know whether to say I was stunned laughing or I was just stunned at that entire thing.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. There we had we brought out a person dressed as a virtual boy who was like wearing a red, like it was like a leotard or something.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to describe the whole thing, but it was funny. I enjoyed
that script. Who wrote that script?
That's a good question. I forget.
So this year, I just want to point out that last year there was some pretty cool prizes given out. I think, several of the winners left with, GTX 980 video cards, along with some other cool stuff. So this year, is there going to be like more awards like that?
That is a great question. Unfortunately, I cannot reveal such things at this moment. But yeah, we do have some surprises in store.
So what I think should happen, and I'm just going to put this out there, is that I think that, you know, if there's going to be hardware given out, that the Board of Governors should actually.
Because
I was actually.
Because you might get something.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was, you guys were gracious enough to offer me the opportunity to be a judge again this year. And I'm very honored to be involved in this prestigious award. I really think it's important that we continue this.
Right. We'll give you a Google Cardboard.
Hey, there you go. It's good. I still have the one from last year. It's awesome.
Because I'm sure you have like a million of those, right?
I'm actually sitting on a chair made of them right now.
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding.
I would love to see that. If you have that, please bring it to VRLA.
There you go. No, I don't think it would make the trip. But, it's good stuff, though. I mean, you guys always do it up real nice, drinks and snacks. And the whole award ceremony itself, I felt like I was watching the Oscars or something. It was very, very cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of work went into it, especially Adam is kind of the main guy in charge of that. He does an awesome job pulling that all together. And our next one's going to be at the Avalon Hollywood the day before Oculus Connect. It's going to be even better than last year.
That's fantastic. Now, do you want to reveal who the host is for this year then?
Oh, I wish I could.
Okay.
But it's someone awesome. And we're actually probably by the time this goes live, people will know.
Okay. That's very cool. Cause it's not that I'm, a big enough celebrity, but I mean, if you ever wanted me to like present or host or something, I could do that. Put this golden voice of mine to good use. Of course, my mom always said I had a face for radio, so I don't know if people want to see me. Anyway, so the Proto Awards, I think it's really smart that you sidle up next to the Oculus Connect event again, because I think that's really, I think it's really smart because so many people are going to be in for Connect that they'll be able to attend the event as well. I know I'm excited to be able to, do the Proto Awards and then do Connect afterwards. I think that's a really cool setup. I guess that'll just be your kind of regular thing then going forward.
Yeah. At least for, I think the short term, it makes a lot of sense for us to do it, alongside Oculus Connect, just because, like you said, there's a ton of VR developers and enthusiasts in town for that. But are you excited for Connect?
I'm stoked. I was very happy when I got my email saying that I was allowed to go, and then I registered and found a hotel and you know, booked the flights, and it was very cool to not have to be looking for flights from Cincinnati. And yeah. You know, that definitely helped out. I'm very excited to see what Oculus has up their sleeves, because obviously there's a lot of opportunity for them to either you know, make us all yawn or make us all yell wow. And so right. I'm really kind of, because I don't want to be critical, but I think Kinect last year was a bit status quo. Nothing really jumped out at us until they showed us Crescent Bay. So,
yeah, I was about to say, like, wait, well, okay, what are you talking about? They showed Crescent Bay. That was crazy.
But take the whole thing on a whole and remove everything but Crescent Bay.
Okay.
It would have just been a Crescent Bay revealing event that they could have done, you know, right, over the course of an afternoon, everybody get in line and try Crescent Bay, and people would have been more excited about that than this full-blown Oculus Kinect event. Mm. So I'm just saying that there's room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. Take it as constructive criticism. But we've got a lot of things that they can do. I'm excited to try whatever iteration that they're going to show, consumer Rift, engineering prototype, whatever. I'm excited to try Touch. I have yet to try that. I'm excited to try whatever the next iteration of the Gear is, if they've got something like that. Rumor is that there might be some sort of Samsung tablet sort of thing that goes with the, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
What do you
think about that?
My thought is that I like the idea of a 5-inch tablet or a 7-inch tablet that does not have a wireless carrier involved. I don't have to subsidize it. I can just buy a freaking Galaxy Tab and put it inside of a Gear VR and let Wi-Fi do its magic. I'm good with that, because then the whole thing can cost under $500 and I don't have to give away my phone and then have somebody text me something dirty while my grandmother is trying my VR experience.
Right. Yeah. Because people do that all the time.
It happened. It happened to me.
Actually?
Yes, it actually happened. My grandmother was trying the Gear VR when a very inappropriate text message showed up on the screen. So I should have
no way
obviously turned that off, but I didn't. And so poor grandma, her shock and awe was not from the Avengers experience, but rather from a few choice words texted to it. Yeah.
Well, I've been reading some rumor about, like, on Reddit about the Gear being like a standalone thing potentially, and it's interesting. Like, it kind of makes sense because you don't have to worry about, you know, getting a new phone.
Right.
You can just buy it.
Right. Well, and John Carmack did that little tweet of, "Hey, don't buy a new phone for VR until after Kinect." And right. I thought, you know what? That is the most uncryptic and most precise and helpful tweet I have seen in months. And it wasn't like mysterious or anything. It's just basically John Carmack told me not to get a new phone. I actually wondered if that's why HTC has collapsed, is because no phones have been sold since John Carmack made that announcement.
Right. It is probably just that tweet.
It's that exact. John Carmack destroyed HTC, thus destroying any possibilities of us having the 5. No, I'm obviously kidding, kids. I mean, the HTC thing came out well before he made that tweet. But you got to admit, kind of interesting. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about VR as the thing to potentially save HTC.
It is. It is. Well, and people don't know that HTC wasn't always just a phone manufacturer. They've made other things other than phones. And so it's, you know, it's not it wouldn't be the craziest thing for them to walk away from the phone area and start developing hardware for VR. That might be the thing to save them. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Then again, we might never see the Vive. If HTC can't make the Vive, then where does it go from there? Does somebody else license it? Or who does it?
No, they're going to make it.
Okay. Well, they can't do it if they don't have any money.
I'm just saying. That's true.
I'm just saying.
I think we'll be getting some Vives.
Well, let's hope so. If not, those development kits are going to become very, very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Then again, maybe developing all those dev kits is what destroyed them. Who knows? I would love to know more about this. I would love to know more about how this is going to proceed. I mean, because we haven't heard really anything from Valve in regards to the HTC debacle, I dare use the word. Haven't heard
of it? No, of course not.
No. Well, it might not be good, in their best interest to make a comment about it. Don't know.
Right. Very good. Right.
All right. So you, sir, have got a lot of work ahead of you over the course of the next couple weeks. And I'm excited now. The Proto Awards, I do want to throw out a couple questions at you from the community. Hopefully you can field a couple of these. Number one is, how do we, if we're going to connect, how do we get into the Proto Awards? Do we just show up and they'll let us in, or how does that work?
Not quite. It's more of a private affair. I mean, we'll be sent. Seating is extremely limited, just because there's so many different parties involved that need tables, namely sponsors, but of course, our honorees, etc.
Sure. So if you were part, if your game or experience is being voted on, you're allowed in, right?
Yeah, of course. Okay.
All right. And then I think I read somewhere that you're going to allow each of the boards of governors to bring a couple people along with us?
Yeah.
Okay. So how many people can I bring with me?
I do not know that question. The answer to that question, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay. So, because what I'm thinking I'll do is, if you're going to connect and you want to be my guest to the Proto Awards, I'm going to hold some sort of contest.
Ooh.
To see
what kind of contest.
Who I should bring with me to the Proto Awards. I'll have to think about that. So if you've got some ideas, if you have some way that you think you can convince me to bring you with me to the Proto Awards, this precious commodity that I have, the golden ticket. We'll have to come up with something. It's going to be neat.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Possibly VR rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, of course the latency would be. It's not fair.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Very cool. Well, Cosmo, I think it's awesome. You and the gang there at VRLA are really kicking out the jams, and you definitely have a full plate ahead of you. I'm looking forward to coming and hanging out with you guys at the VRLA Summer Expo, which is August 29th. I'll bring some of my equipment and we'll try to broadcast some of it to VR casters. I think that's very cool. And then obviously September 22nd, right before Connect, is the Proto Awards. Mm-hmm. And we'll be hanging out there as well. Very, very cool. Do you want to give any information or contact or anything to the audience while you have their ears?
Sure. Well, our website for VRLA is virtualrealityla.com. You can follow us on Twitter at VR Los Angeles. And Proto Awards is just protoawards.com.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So, no pressure, but we're expecting some very, very exciting things to be coming out of both of these events. So don't let us down.
Yes, I will. I won't. Don't worry.
Okay. You haven't done it yet, man. you always seem to outdo yourself with each event. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with these next two.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm excited to see you.
Heck yeah, heck yeah! I'll buy you a beer. Oh, no, wait, you're not old enough to drink yet, are you?
Almost.
Almost. All right, Cosmo. Well, tell everybody there at VR LA, I said hi, and I'll see you soon.
Cool. Thanks so much.
All right. Well, thank you, and thank you all very much for listening. All data and information provided on the RevVR podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. This podcast makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information discussed. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests and are not necessarily shared by Road to VR or its affiliates.